Academic Aesthetic Number 58 for March 31st, 2006. I'm your host, Aaron Smith, the Art Guy. Okay, welcome once again to the Academic Aesthetic. I have a couple things that I'm excited to tell you about. First of which has nothing to do with education, but today was a gorgeous spring day of my drive into work today. Totally awesome. And if you're not getting good weather, I feel bad for you. I mean, it's really nice outside. I'm going to be spending most of today hanging up artwork. Already today I loaded up my kiln to fire some pieces for our multicultural dinner that we have going on in April. And it's going to be fun. Now, last night we had our weekly meeting of the art club, and one of my parent volunteers usually brings her younger son with her as well. And I've got no problem with this. She supervises him and everything. And he's in, it's either first grade or second grade. So, he's kind of young. And every now and then he asks to participate in the lesson. He thinks it's something fun, so he tries it out too. Now, most of these kids for the session where he attends are 5th graders and 6th graders, so I am giving them harder lessons. But I did a photography lesson with them a while back, and I let him take a few pictures with the camera also. Well, last night, he asked if he could borrow the camera again. I said, sure, here, let me just set these things up for you. I turned off the flash so it wouldn't run down the battery or anything, and he started running around taking pictures everywhere. My gosh, he took a lot of pictures. He took well over 115 pictures because at one point I changed memory cards and the memory card he had in it the second time is the one I've mainly looked at and that has exactly 115 pictures on it. So he was quite a shutterbug. It's really fun to take a look at him too because even though the pictures were a little blurry, he wasn't quite familiar with the lag that you get with a digital camera, where you hit the button and then there's a couple seconds before it actually takes a picture, so he was moving the camera. Even with that, his pictures were actually very well composed and very artistic. Now, this is a first or second grader doing this. I've had some college professors tell me I really shouldn't focus on composition too much until they're in middle school because they won't get it in elementary school. So, those of you who are college students wanting to become art teachers, especially if you want to become art teachers in the elementary field like I am, when you get advice for what you can and cannot teach your kids, take it with a grain of salt. I was told don't teach perspective to elementary because they just won't get it. My fourth graders do perspective pretty well. I was told don't focus so much on this thing or that thing. And then when I try it, it works. Now, granted, sometimes it doesn't work and it's not going to work with every student you have. But if you teach a lesson and a majority of them don't understand it, don't be so quick to say, well, the kids just probably aren't developed far enough to handle it. Maybe if you broke it down more simply, maybe if you approach it from a different angle, they would begin to understand it. There's a lot more you can do. Don't just have someone say to you, you can't do this, they're not old enough, and then don't do that because you don't think they're old enough and no one else thought they were old enough, and so they never get a chance to do it until later on. I mean, if we're teaching kindergartners and first graders and second graders that are immigrants, that are non-native speakers, how to speak English at that age, and they can achieve fluency in less than 2 years, well, for crying out loud, we can teach them art stuff too. It's not that much more difficult. Actually, if you look at my French class grades when I was in high school, art's a little bit easier, but I digress. Now, I've got something else to share with you today. in my RSS feeds this morning, I saw a link to something called Bubbler, which is a Flickr mashup done by the folks over at pimpampum.net. I know, it's a weird address, but pimpampum.net, you just type that in, you get a screen with a bunch of little bubbles on it, and you click on the bubbles and they pop. It's amusing, but only for like 10 seconds. Move on to Bubbler, though. This is something I think I'll be spending a lot of time on. A while back, there was a program circulating through the blogosphere. It seemed everyone who owned a Mac was getting and trying out a program, I think it was called Comic Life, if I remember correctly, that would allow you to take your pictures and turn them into comic book pages. You could add bubbles, you could change the format of pictures and stuff, you could do cropping. Really cool program, and a lot of people really liked it. Now, I myself didn't try it because I'm a cheapskate and I didn't want to pay for it. And didn't see much of a point in going and getting a demo and then saying, this is great, but I can't do anything with it because I'm not paying for it. So, bleh. Bubbler is sort of along the same lines, a very toned-down version. Comic Life still has a lot more features. However, this is free, and it uses photos that are already on Flickr. Now, when you start off, you have two options. You can have it search Flickr for photos tagged by a certain tagline. It could be just typing in, like, forest, and you get a whole bunch of pictures of forest you can select from. And if you don't see any you like, you click show the next few, and it'll show you the next few. You can also search for one specifically by someone using a specific Flickr account. So, for example, for the sample comic that I made, I typed in my Flickr ID, which is, coincidentally, the art guy, and it only showed pictures that were on my account. So if you've got a whole bunch of fodder on your account, you don't have to type in a keyword you know you used, but then encounter 15 billion pictures that weren't by you, but those people just use the same tagline. You can say, okay, find only pictures that were uploaded by the art guy and have the tag of Discovery Educator Network or whatever. And you don't even have to include the tag section. If you just type in a user's account name, you'll get all their pictures. I believe starting with the most recent and working its way back. Well, once you've done that, you can select the pictures to throw into this. It's a linear comic that it creates, and it's horizontal, so it goes from left to right. You could have it just be one frame if you want it to be just one frame. That's okay. But if you want more frames, you can add more. If you want to add them before your selected picture or after the selected picture, you can do that also. You have three ways to enter text. You can add a thought bubble. And what's neat about the thought bubble and the word bubbles is you can click on either those little circles underneath the thought bubble or the triangle underneath the word bubble and drag it to make it point towards whoever you want to be thinking or saying something, which is kind of nice. You also have a bubble for narration, which is not really said by anyone. It's just the unseen narrator providing context or what have you, which is kind of neat. And you can just throw them all together and make a comic as fast as you can type, really. The cool stuff, I think, comes after that. Yeah, that's already cool. But there's more cool stuff. Now, when you're done with that, you click publish your strip. So it's published. And it's not saved on any server of yours. You don't really download this, so I suppose that's one bad thing. Instead, it saves it to the Bubbler server. And you can get a link and email that link to people. The format's right in there to send emails to people. You don't even need to open up your Gmail account, whatever you use for email. You could click on where it says blog this strip, or blog this, I think. And it'll give you a little pop-up window that gives you the HTML code to throw into Blogger or Thingamablog or WordPress or whatever program you're using for blogging, and that'll be a link to your strip on their server. When they view your strip, they have several options. There's a thing at the top that says rate the strip. You've got 5 stars that are blank. They can decide how many stars that strip is worth. Below each picture is a little bit of text that says Flickr, colon, and then whatever that person named the photo. Whatever the person who took the photo named the photo, that is. If you click on that, it pops up another window that takes you right to the Flickr page that shows that photo, so you can see exactly what context that picture was taken in, which I think is a very nice feature. It helps reference wherever you got those photos. My recommendation is to only use photos that you took yourself or that you know are Creative Commons licensed, but I'm just a stickler for that. Now, you also have the option for something called Recycle This Strip. If you click that, it makes that whole strip editable, whether it was done by you or somebody else. The text is still there, all the pictures are still there, but you can change and move things around, you can add more photos and whatnot, you can make it as long or as short as you want, and then when you publish it, it's a new strip. It may have started off as a strip by somebody else, but now it's a strip that you made. So there's this whole collaborative process going on. And I think that might be the coolest feature. I can imagine making a bunch of strips to start off, or maybe not even making any strips, just having kids go on this service and search for pictures, making their comic strips, and then having other kids look at those comics and modify them and change them, making more. They could do pretty much anything with this. They could use it to show sequencing through an activity they did, a scientific experiment, upload those pictures to Flickr. Either they can do it or you can do it for them. Probably you doing it for them if you want to hold with the end user license agreement with Flickr. I think you have to be a certain age before you use that product. But still, as long as the pictures are on the server, they can find them, use them, and then narrate all the steps that were done. Which is a really cool feature. Looking at this, I don't see any advertising right now except for two things. There's some links at the bottom that say Play Memory and Play Phaser. I am assuming those are two other things that are also by Pim Pam Pum. I just clicked on the Phaser link, and yeah, that's by Pim Pam Pum as well. That says Write a Phrase. I think I'll write a phrase. That's what the art guy is podcasting. Hit start. Ah. So it looks for things that are tagged by each word I added in the phrase, and it creates a little segment for you for that. Of course, nothing was tagged the word is, so it didn't show up anything at all. However, there's a little thing above that says change. So if I click on change, it shows me other pictures I could select. And there I go. Now, there are some problems with this, and I'll go through them. First, the biggest problem I see is, since it's searching everything on Flickr, there are some pictures there that I really don't think are safe for kids to see, and they might access them. A way around that would be just to tell them, these are the pictures you're going to use, I've created the strip for you, you need to edit it. So that's one way around it. That might not be a concern for you, it might be a concern, but there you go, there's one solution for that. I'm a little upset that I can't save these onto my hard drive. I would like to keep files of these. And I suppose I could get around that with the feature where it says print. I could click on that and automatically send it to my printer. Well, since I'm using a Macintosh, I can save it as a PDF file. The downside of printing, however, is it wants to print each frame on a separate page. Well, in Photoshop, I can copy-paste things together and make it one page. So that's more editing on my part, but I can do that. And push comes to shove, I could always do screen captures and edit those together instead. So, I think I just lost my train of thought, so I think I'll wrap it up now. If you have any comments, if you think Bubbler is as cool as I think it is, by all means, send me an email. If you think it's a horrible thing and you see more problems or more comments, you can do that too. My email is theartguy@gmail.com. And of course, you can always go to my website and check me out at academicaesthetic.com. I'll take you to my blogspot page, and you can leave a comment in the show notes and check out the other stuff that I blog about. Subscribe to my RSS feed. You can either subscribe to it through an RSS aggregator, or I even have a feature there where you can subscribe via email, so every time I update, instead of checking your RSS feed, if you don't check the many RSS feeds, you can just check your email and see what I'm talking about in there. And until next time, stay subscribed, and fare thee well.